Welcome back to our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike to take you along with the legendary, here. We at Acme Oyster House. Doors are open here at 3535 Perkins Road in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. Got great food and drink specials here at Acme Oyster House. Jason and the crew will take real good care of you. And if you want to watch the games, we Herb and I looked up and all of a sudden, pop, Michigan, Alabama is up on the screen. You'll be able to watch all of the college bowl games here. If you come, bring a family, whatever. Great meal, great food and drink specials. Also, you'll be able to don't miss a second of all the college football games that are playing this afternoon and starting off with Alabama and Michigan. And we'll talk a little bit about that in the mindset, too. We talked about LSU Baylor and how serious and how, I guess, maybe focused LSU will be on this game. We've heard from Zach. Looks as though Baylor's focused. Yeah. They ready for this. But I can almost say the same thing about Michigan. It means more to them than it does to Alabama to really play well and try to win this game. For Alabama, the disappointment is we didn't get in. We didn't get in that 12 tournament. And I do think what Coach Switzer a couple months back on Sports Talk said, I think is not 100% right. It's 2,000% right.
That's right. That's right. So you got two ways to look at this thing, right? So you can be Alabama, and you can be, you know, wallowing in self-misery if you want and say, oh, we should have been in the 12-team playoff and all this other stuff. Or you can say, let me show you why we should have been in there. And so now you can flip that, and then you can be beating a team in Michigan's caliber, you know, 60-10 or something like that. And now you have an argument, hey, you know, we should have been one of those first teams in the first round of the playoffs to play and show you guys what we can do. But since we weren't, you saw how the first round went, right? And so it's going to be exactly up to the team, as Coach Switzer was saying, when you come off of those, you know, 13 games in a row, and then now you have a three-week layoff, and you also didn't make the playoffs, or you're not in the running for the championship, who is that team? And that's why I like the guys that are younger guys that's going to be able to have an opportunity to play, that's going to be able to say, okay, guys, we have an opportunity to do something special that we didn't get to do all year long, meaning those individuals. Those are the guys that's going to give you 125%. And then you're going to have some of the guys that's, you know, that's been playing all year long that's going to say, okay, who am I? Am I going to finish the season strong like I started the season? And that's going to be important for the leaders in the locker room to be able to get those guys to do the right thing.
I think it's a huge game for Jalen Milroe.
Huge.
I think because this is his last college game.
Yeah.
And he'll be going into the pros. And you're not trying to win the presidential election here. You don't need the majority or the electoral college.
Well, you got the electrical votes. We got you over here at Matt Maynard's, baby.
Y'all take care of that electrical stuff. But, you don't need to pile up the votes. All you got to do is convince
one team
to pick you. And, you know, I've talked about this off the air. You see the tremendous athletic skills in Jalen and his ability to run. And, man, he's got a rifle. Now, he can throw the football a lot of different angles. I think he's better at the deep pass than he is the short intermediate throws. But I think that's something he's got to kind of prove to everybody that I can throw that little outlet pass. I can hit that little 10-yard out. A pattern or a squaring pattern because he was so erratic at Alabama, and he's also another one. You get pressure on him, he's going to turn the ball over.
He might
just
right
like Derek Garrett has done.
Well, what you do is you look at Milroe's progression from 23 to 24, completely different quarterback, much better leader. He could throw the football a lot better than he could in 23. The difference is sometimes you see that 23 Milroe creep in the game and show you
against
some things.
Oklahoma.
That's right. And so, and that's the problem, the consistency thereof. If he can stay consistent on being what we know he can be, he will be successful. And this game right here, you're right, is going to dictate whether or not he has an opportunity to be at least a guy to come in and vie for a starting position. Because, you know, you mentioned something, you said something off air that there's not many guys out there coming out. But you know what? There's not many guys in the league right now that are just surefire starter. So every kid that's coming out, I'm thinking about going to, I know this lady, right, on the West Bank in Algiers, right? She got some pills and she got some drinks, and she might be able to make me a little bit younger, go back in time. So I'm thinking about suiting back up, but I'm going to Nichols State this time because I don't think I can make it at LSU. They hit too hard out there. It's too fast. So, but anyway, I think, you know, you have an opportunity to be able to go into the league as a Jalen Milroe who's played really great football against great talent, great competition, that potentially he can have an opportunity to play somewhere.
One thing with Michigan, and their season's been kind of up and down. A lot of it has to do with the lack of quarterback. Now, they got one now. He'll be the 18-year-old next year.
Well, we're going to see.
We'll see how good he is as a true freshman. But, man, they went in the trenches. They've always had these big offensive, defensive linemen. They went up front. And I still think no matter how you cut it, Herb, that is a huge part of this game.
Well, that's one of those things where you got to look at, you know, Jim Harbaugh for that. Every team that Jim Harbaugh has ever coached that, he started up front. And he would always have the best offense and defensive linemen that you could find in college football. And that goes back to Stanford. You go back and you look at all the offensive linemen that he got into the league at Stanford. Then you turn around and you see what he did at Michigan. The one thing that he never really truly had, though, at both of those places was truly talent across the board at the skill position. And when you've seen him with that at San Francisco, right, and now in Los Angeles, you're going to see what he can do. But that's just carryover from Jim Harbaugh's recruiting style and what he knows. And the one thing that Alabama does is recruit offense and defensive linemen.
That so Ryan Williams guy exactly, can play.
Exactly. Well, yes, definitely on the skill position, but up front. So you got two teams that's going to be really skilled up front, with talent as well as size, that's going to be beating up against each other. And I think what's going to make the difference in this game is going to be the skill position.
You think about, you know, Kalen DeBoer taking over for, I think, the greatest college football coach ever, Nick Saban.
Yes.
Especially in the era today where you can leave early and you got scholarship limitations and you can transfer, guys can come out early for the draft. I mean, all those situations, and he continuously had his team playing for SEC championships or national championships. It was one of the two and sometimes both. And now Shamir Moore takes over at Michigan. He got some big moccasins because that was a yep. huge senior class that left.
Yep.
A lot of juniors came out early and were early round selections. These are two guys that, man, you talk about pressure. Now, you got pressure when you are a college head football coach.
That's right.
You really got pressure when you're taking over for Jim Harbaugh and taking over for Nick Saban.
You know, it's one of those things where you have two dream jobs that come available. The problem is now everyone is looking at you as, can you be that same coach that you took over for? Now, what you do is, if you're Kalen DeBoer, in my opinion, is you be Kalen DeBoer and you go be that guy. You have a place where you can recruit now much better than when you were in Washington. You should be able to get the right guys in, the right staff, and all this other stuff. You're going to get all the money you need and everything you need because Alabama's going to push it. Now, you just be Kalen DeBoer. Don't try to be Nick Saban and none of that stuff. Now, if you're the Michigan's coach, I can't think of his name right
Shamir
now.
Shamir Moore.
What you do is you take a little bit, if not 75% of everything that Jim Harbaugh did, and you can continue to implement that, but sprinkle in a little bit of Shamir Moore. Because what happens is, you know, Nick is a guy that you can't replace. There's no replacing Nick. You have to be something completely different. But in Jim Harbaugh, being that he was only there for 4 or 5 years or whatever that time frame was, you can now utilize a little bit of what he had, if not half of it, and then create your own image within that. Because what he left you with was something that was really great. It was how to go to the process of getting to a championship and things of that nature and building the team. I think that's the way you do that, because he was with Jim Harbaugh for such a long time. He understood what that was like and how to produce that Jim Harbaugh, if you will, type of team that I think. I've always been a Jim Harbaugh fan. He's always been one of my favorite coaches. I like what he does with the players. I like how he interacts with the media. I like how he puts his teams together. I like his play calls during the games. I like all of his, everything about Jim Harbaugh is one of my favorite guys. So if I'm, you know, Mr. Moore, I would definitely do a little bit of what Jim was doing and carry that over into my tenure.
One of the things I saw this year throughout the high school season was a lot more visual of Michigan people recruiting the state of Louisiana. At one time, that they recruited Louisiana,
they
the state of Louisiana,
yes,
pretty hard, but then that was a big lull in that.
That was in the 90s, late 90s.
And then all of a sudden now, Harbaugh didn't do that.
No.
But now Shamir and his staff, they've shown, you know, they were involved in a lot of the big name guys. One of the assistant coaches that I know on the staff told me, hey, you know what? We can look at that and see, man, look, per capita, Louisiana and Mississippi puts out more pro players than anybody, you know, per capita. But it's the running backs, the receivers, the defensive backs. We can find the bigger guys. Mm-hmm. But in the state of Louisiana, when you look at the running backs, the receiving corps, if it's a secondary guy, they have really put a lot of effort in there and have landed two this year in their class of for 2025.
Well, most of your really outstanding teams that recruit skill positions are recruiting guys from Louisiana. And it's because there's something in the water that shows that these guys are quick, fast. They have this aura about them that really makes them, you know, what we like to call dogs.
Right.
And they make it happen all the time. And these guys don't play no games. And this is what we do. And they take pride in what they do as well. And then ultimately, when you can take a kid from a Louisiana parish city and bring them somewhere else, they're going to be successful. They're going to outshine everybody. They're going to be most liked, most loved. People are going to want to gravitate to them, and that's what we do. And so I always appreciate the fact that when you have a Michigan, you know, or Notre Dame, or, you know, Ohio State, because I remember when Michigan, Ohio State came here and they recruited John Curtis heavy with the running back.
They sure did.
Chris Howard, Jonathan Wells. I mean, they came and got some guys. And it was always phenomenal to see those guys go to those schools because, you know, when I was growing up, you look at TV, we didn't have cable. So ABC, NBC, CBS, you would see Michigan on, Ohio State, Notre Dame. Those are the games that you would see on it. So you're thinking this is the pinnacle of college football. And they literally came and got guys that I played against. And so, you know, they came and visit school where I was at Old Perry Walker, but they didn't offer me any scholarships, but everybody in the South did and everybody in the West did. And I wasn't going up north anyway. I told him, don't come. Yeah, it's too cold. Don't come ask me about going up there to New Michigan or nothing like that, man. What's wrong with you? I don't do all of that.
Yeah, one of the assistant coaches from Michigan, he was recruiting the Destrehan area. And they had a couple of receivers there that they went after. It ended up landing a running back from the city of New Orleans and ended up with a receiver. But, man, I told him, I see y'all more in Destrehan than me.
That's right.
And I'm only about 15 minutes away from here. And he got a kick out of it. We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettelia along with Herb Tyler at Acme Oyster House. We'll be back with more of our tailgating show right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettelia along with Herb Tyler at Acme Oyster House here in Baton Rouge, 3535 Perkins Road. The doors are open. We got some people that are rolling in now. And, man, Alabama's had a tough time with the weather. Michigan hits a long field goal. It's 3-0. And then they fumble a snap from center. So Michigan set up in a short field.
Mm-hmm.
On our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, it's time for our Tiger Scout Notebook. And it's brought to you by Thibodaux Regional Health System. Totally focused on patient care. I want to thank Greg Stock, everybody along with Thibodaux Regional Health System. Always a big part of what we do here on Saturdays and now today on a Tuesday. So we have on with us Jeff Palermo from Louisiana Radio Network. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Jeffy Jeff, what's up, man?
How you guys doing? Happy New Year.
It's Happy New Year to you. Jeff, been asked a few questions, and we got it on the text line of people asking about what is the secondary going to look like, because that's been sort of jumbled. And Brian Kelly sort of has kept that close to the vest on exactly how he's going to handle this with the safety position.
Well, yeah, I think safety, and let's face it, guys. I mean, it was Safety was a position that was not a strong suit for LSU this season. I mean, Jordan Gilbert coming over from Texas A&M really didn't have a strong season. I think Sage Ryan was okay, but if he had a really good season, he'd be going to the NFL, not Ole Miss at this point. And then, you know, Major Burns, who has opted out, I think he'll find himself on an NFL roster somewhere, but it wasn't a great season for him. So to me, the two guys that really get an opportunity here, especially with Sage Ryan and Major Burns no longer part of the equation, is Deshaun Spears, the true freshman from Denham Springs. We saw a lot of him early on, but then once LSU settled in on the three guys they were going to go with at their safety positions between Gilbert, Ryan, and Burns, Spears didn't see as much playing time. And then the other guy is JV and Toviano. This is a guy that has been they experimented with him a lot last year at cornerback when LSU was desperate to find anybody to play the cornerback position after Zy Alexander went down with the season-ending injury. But Brian Kelly announced during the bowl practice period that, look, they're sticking with Toviano at safety. They like him at that position. So this is a chance for him to get out there. I would imagine you probably will see him where Major Burns was playing, so that star position, the hybrid linebacker safety position, and they'll run with him and see how well he performs. Deshaun Spears, there's a lot of excitement about him. Could he be the next great defensive back from this area, or the next great safety? You know, could he be an Eric Reed? I guess that's the ceiling that a lot of people put on him. I don't know. That's lofty expectations for someone like that.
He's Eric Reed.
Yeah, right. But if he certainly is a guy that's a ball hawk out there. I think the biggest thing for him is, can he be physical enough out there? And he'll need to show that here today against Baylor.
I think, Jeff, looking at the transfer portal, I think all of us have been impressed on what they've been able to do. Certainly along the defensive line, and you got Jacoby and Guillory coming back. You're bringing in some guys that can rush the quarterback. Got a couple guys that can, I think, certainly stretch the field at wide receiver. I think the one area, and we touched a little bit about it, has to be they have to have focus on a couple guys to help out at the safety position, and also a little bit more help along the offensive line. You got a lot of young guys here with virtually no experience. Now, I can't say that after today. I think they'll be getting some experience today. But in the transfer portal, if it's in this period or in the, say, the spring period, I think safety and offensive line, especially offensive tackle, I think will be the areas that they try to hit.
No doubt about it. And there's the possibility, guys, at this point that they have some silent commitments, right? There could be guys that might be playing either tonight or tomorrow, you know, with their seasons wrapping up, that have already expressed through a third party that they may be transferring, and LSU's on their list. And LSU may actually have those kind of commitments. I mean, when you look at it, it's at 14 right now. The number that, with the latest being Josh Thompson, an offensive lineman from Northwestern out of the Big Ten, you know, Brian Kelly mentioned 15 guys that they were looking at. So they may surpass that number. But, yeah, I think offensive tackle, I don't think you're going in to next season. I know they're really high on Tyree Adams, the standout from St. Aug. Who's going to play at that other tackle position? That is still a big question mark. Today, it's going to be Miles Frazier, who has been starting at right guard for them all season long. Miles Frazier will get an opportunity to show NFL scouts his versatility today when he lines up at right tackle. But they're going to have to find someone there. I think they need a veteran guy there. And that's where the transfer portal comes back to bite you, right? Because this is where Lance Hurd, the outstanding offensive tackle from Neville High School, was supposed to step up and be the guy, but he didn't want to wait around, so he ended up at Tennessee. And so now you got to go in the transfer portal and find someone to fill that spot. And then, yeah, safety is they got to figure it out. They got to find an impact player, and maybe they do get a few answers on that here today.
Jeff, I got a question for you. This is going to be interesting. Nussmeier is going to start today. do you see any chance at Colin Hurley playing today at all?
No, I don't think so. I think this is Garrett Nussmeier's game, as long as he doesn't get injured or, you know, there a 30-point spread opens up with either Baylor or LSU playing. I don't think they're going to give Colin Hurley an opportunity. I just think that they like, you know, this is Nussmeier. You know, you talk about motivation and guys wanting to play. I think in a bowl game that really is a glorified exhibition, Garrett Nussmeier is excited to play. He wants to play. He's motivated to play. I really think one of the reasons why he got off to such a really good start this season was because of how well he performed in the bowl game. I think that gave him a lot of confidence during the offseason. A come-from-behind win that he was able to orchestrate last season in the bowl game gave him the confidence that, hey, he can be the guy, and he really showed it early on in the season. Obviously, he had a bit of a midseason slump there, but then ended up finishing the season strong against Oklahoma. I think he wants to build on that performance that he had against the Sooners, put together another really good game here. I still think, while, yes, this is it's kind of a weird game because I don't think it really matters at this point whether LSU wins 8 or 9 games this season. And this game, because you got this wave of transfer portal players coming in and incoming freshmen, this game to me doesn't really say anything about the 2025 season. So it's just a game on the calendar, and you go out there and play it. But I still think it matters a lot to a guy like Garrett Nussmeier, and I don't think LSU is willing to experiment and just start throwing anybody out there just to give them a look. I'm sure they'll do that quite a bit in spring football. That's for sure, though.
Yep. Got another question for you, Jeff. So we talked about the guys that may jump in the portal to come to LSU. Are there any names that you can think of that potentially may jump in the portal to leave LSU that hasn't done so yet?
That's a good question. That's a really good question. I would imagine there could be a couple more defections, but to me, pretty much the main guys have gone at this point. Colin Hurley would be a guy that may be someone that just kind of reevaluates it and looks at it and says, well, I'll do something else. If Caleb Jackson doesn't feel like he's going to really get a lot of playing time next season with the likes of Harlan Berry coming in and Trey Holly possibly coming back. And then, LSU obviously I wouldn't be surprised if LSU even found another running back in the transfer portal. It's not a need. But it's something that they could possibly do. Maybe Caleb, especially, if Caleb doesn't play, maybe he jumps in. But other than that, I don't know. I don't think there's really anybody that I can think of that hasn't gotten in already that, it might decide to jump in. So I think the hard losses out of the transfer portal, the likes of, to me, C.J. Daniels and Deshaun Womack right off the top, those two guys, it's disappointing to see them go. I think it was disappointing to see Kylan Jackson go. Shelton Sampson, just kind of disappointing. It didn't manifest for him. And then Kamorian Pimpton was another guy that, heck,
surprise,
he was supposed to
for me.
Yeah, he was that guy there
because he had a shot to play, and I mean fast.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know who was advising him there. Maybe you never know what kind of goes on behind the scenes.
Right.
But Pimpton to me was the biggest surprise that he decided to kind of tag out and leave.
Well, this is where the NIL dollars, I think, probably play a role in this. I mean, all these guys have advisors, and, because it is a bit of the wild, wild west. Now, granted, Pimpton can't, in November, can't be sitting there and calling up Sonny Dykes over at TCU saying, hey, do you want me to come there? But Pimpton can get somebody to do
maybe
that.
Sonny, maybe Sonny did. Now, I know Sonny a little bit. That might have happened a little bit.
So that's how those things go. That's how those things transpire. That's why I'm saying there's probably when we were talking about offensive tackle and safety, there's probably guys that LSU has a handshake agreement with, and we'll find out about that probably in early January. A couple more additions through the transfer portal, guys that are either playing today or tomorrow, and they'll be they'll be LSU Tigers before the winter semester begins.
Jeff, Harold Perkins last weekend kind of made it official. We have been hearing certainly a lot of rumors over the last few weeks, and I heard somebody actually told me he's coming back. But you know, I'll let Harold break that story.
That's
not my gig to do it. But I think it was important for Harold to come back, no matter if it was at LSU or where he might have went somewhere else.
That's right.
Because he's a great athlete with no position. And that's the strange thing is, he is an unbelievable athlete. But where do you play him? Is he a hybrid safety? Do you play him at linebacker? And whatever Blake Baker has in mind to use him, I think that is one of the big question marks going into the spring, and I'm sure he will be limited or basically not even participate. But
right.
How they use him on this 2025 team for LSU is intriguing to me, because we see all the athletic skills. But where are you going to play him?
Yeah, and I think you bring up a good point, Mike. The other obstacle in all of this is he's likely not participating in spring football. So it's right. Not like you could – with the new personnel that's coming in, it's not like you can figure out then, okay, where are we going to put them? So, and you've this is your third crack at it, right? I mean, you've the first two times you didn't, you know, you could say you got mixed results. Well, you didn't get any results, I guess you could say, heading into sophomore season, because you aborted the plan of playing them as an off-ball linebacker after the first game, and then this year. He was making tackles, but he was not making the big game-changing plays that you're wanting him to make, or making the or wreaking havoc out there and creating second and longs and third and longs and so forth like that, because of plays he's making behind the line of scrimmage. So you got one more chance at this thing, and maybe the fact it helps that you're bringing back the same defensive coordinator, unless something crazy happens with Blake Baker. Maybe they have an idea. You know, Brian Kelly didn't give us any answer on where he may be playing, but The answer that we got from Brian Kelly earlier this week in Houston is that they got an idea. Harold Perkins is on board with that plan, and let's see how it works moving forward. And hopefully he's ready to go even in preseason camp. We know these ACL injuries. I mean, he suffered it in late September. So where will he be come early camp. August as
oh,
far
yeah.
as
I
how much he's going to be able to participate?
One of the things, Herb and I have talked about this, I think would be a great spot for him, strong safety.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I think when you look at it, using him closer to the line of scrimmage to get some pressure on, because that he can do really well. And he has shown the one thing pretty well. He's learned how to drop in coverage.
Yeah.
And he's not a 235-pound linebacker. If his second number is two, okay, it's a 2-2-2 or 2-2-1. He's not going to get too much bigger than that.
No.
I think
Mm-mm.
strong safety and using him sort of hybrid-wise.
Coming down the hill.
I think is the spot for him. And that's how the NFL plays people today.
Yep.
Yeah, and what we've seen is him as far as an off-ball linebacker, his head's too much on the swivel, too close to the line of scrimmage, and he can't get off block. So it just hasn't worked for him there at that position. But I kind of like what you're talking about as far as a safety position, but he's certainly someone that needs to be a guy that's going after the passer, because to me that is his greatest asset, is the ability to, okay, we're going to line you up here. Your job is to try to get to the quarterback as fast as possible and make something happen. And that is where we've seen Harold Perkins excel the
yes.
most, and that's where he's been the most successful.
And another guy that you think about, that I've been thinking about all season long, and where do you play him, how do you play him, what do you do with him, another five-star athlete in Juwan Johnson, and
yeah.
what do you do with him, right? Like, where do you put him? I think he has the ability to play pretty much anywhere.
Man, I put him at running back. I think that's more of a natural position for him on the offensive side of football.
I don't know if running back is, because I've never seen him run the ball in between the tackles, right? So if you put him at running back, what are you doing with him? Because right now we've seen him put him at running back, and he's not really effective. Let's call it that. And so do you try to play him as like a running back type
slot
of
slot receiver?
Like a flex
yeah.
back type of situation? What's your thoughts on that, Jeff?
Yeah, well, he's a guy that you want to have the ball in his hands, because I watched him for 4 years at Lafayette Christian Academy, and he goes down as one of the most electric high school football players the state of Louisiana has ever produced. So whatever it is that you can get him the ball. I never really bought the whole cornerback position. I did not, just because of what I saw of him at quarterback. And then, well, then you're saying, well, why don't you play him at quarterback? You just lost Bryce Underwood, and you can develop him there. Well,
he never really threw the ball. Though.
No, well, he wasn't that good of a passer.
5'11", and he's got kind of a funky motion and stuff like that.
You're talking to Herb now.
Yeah, 5'11".
That's tall. That's tall for Herb. If you like talking about a 5'11" guy.
It's a giant, bro. What's wrong with you?
But I like the idea of something. Whether you're putting him at slot, can he do something that can he do some of the similar things that Aaron Anderson does?
That's right.
I mean, is he someone that you can develop into that role?
Mm-hmm. I think you could.
Or do you develop him as a running back? Now, at least and Brian Kelly talked about him during the spring, saying that this was their issue last year. They didn't know exactly what to do with them. I think now they have at least minimized their options. The defense is no longer on the table. So now you can zone in a little bit better and figure out where exactly you want to play him.
Jeff, one of the guys I know a couple people have asked me about, so I'll throw it to you, Jelani Watkins. Because that is somebody that – Coach Kelly talked a lot about early, and then, man, it almost like fell off the cliff. You didn't really kind of, and I know he got injured.
Was he still? But, he's still injured, right?
And no, so
he's gonna play today.
No, he's okay. gonna play all today. Right. The type of player, because we really haven't seen him. All I know is he's fast. I mean, he is jet fast out on the field. Now, how well he'll hold up with a big hit remains to be seen. But your thoughts on Jelani Watkins?
Yeah, when Xavion Thomas, you go all the way back to the early part of camp, Xavion Thomas had that hamstring injury, and that allowed Jelani Watkins to kind of go out there and flash a little bit. And what we saw was that he's fast. That is exactly right. He's got a lot of speed, and he's an interesting guy, because you figure he's going to play here tonight because Aaron Anderson, Xavion Thomas, I mean, those are your, along with Chris Hilton, those are your three wide receivers, and you're going to be rotating other guys in, since that's pretty much you have left. So this is his chance, and Kyle Parker's still hurt. So this is his chance to show you something. And what you saw out of him, and he's on the small side. He's not the biggest guy.
Yes.
He's 5'9", he's like 160 pounds.
Yep.
But he's a track star out of Texas. Who can run really, really fast. And so you want to see whether that translates and whether he can make some plays. I'm not going to say that he's going to go out there and catch 5 or 6 passes, but I would imagine you're going to see him out there, and it'd be nice to see him catch some passes and catch a couple passes anyways, and see what it's like when he's got the ball in space, and whether he can really make some things happen.
Chip,
Kyle and Billy O. Kyle and Billy O. Guys is another.
Oh,
guy.
I was good. That's
the Billy O. Is it Billy?
I was good. No, no. Where he grew up at? Come on, he's a Billy. But they cut off the T on that.
Okay.
I know where Colin grew up at. Right down the road from where I'm at. So, so we'll get to see Colin play today.
Yes, yeah, I would imagine he's another guy that you're going to get to see. They really have five wide receivers: Hilton, Anderson. Hilton, Anderson, Xavion Thomas, and then Kylan, and then Jelani. Those are the five they have going into this game.
One thing with Kylan, he got size that the other guys don't.
He's got size, and he's fast, too.
190.
Yes, he is.
He's very fast.
Thanks so much for joining us this morning. Always appreciate it, bud, and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, Mike. Thank you very much. Herb,
yes, sir,
appreciate it, man.
That's a wrap on our Tiger Scout Notebook, brought to you by Thibodaux Regional Health System, focused on patient care. I want to thank Greg Stock, everybody at Thibodaux Regional Health System, always being a great partner here on WWL. We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettillo along with Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. Doors are open. Got a good crowd here already. And Herb, you talk about mistakes one after the other. Michigan has jumped all over Alabama.
Sounds like a good
16 to nothing. And, man, Jalen Milroe's couple turnovers in this game. Got the ball popped out. It was a pouring down rain at one point. Then it's like here. Then the damn sun come out. And now it's sort of overcast again. But 16 to nothing, Michigan. And I had a feeling that Michigan was going to take this game serious. Okay, they beat Ohio State that last game. But it meant more to them. I didn't know the mindset of Alabama having missed that opportunity to get into final 12.
That's always a difficult situation to be in. But at the end of the day, Alabama, who likes Alabama? No one here. I can tell you that right now.
We're happy.
At the end of the day, this is fun for us to watch. But Alabama is in a situation where they don't know who they are. Their identity is not there at all.
Bingo. I agree with that. Totally, Herb.
They don't know what to do, where to go from here. I think Kalen is just wanting to get this game over with and start fresh tomorrow morning and get ready for the 2025 season. Because, you know, he still has some of those Nick Saban guys that are on the team. And he's going to have some during the season next year, but he's going to have another offseason to really drill into their heads of what he wants this particular team to look like moving forward.
Yeah, I thought he would adjust better to the talents of Jalen Milroe. But you know what? We seeing it in front of our very eyes. It has not worked with those two. The kind of usage of Jalen, because he had Michael Penix, okay, at Washington.
Two different quarterbacks, though.
And two totally different style quarterbacks.
Yep.
Kalen had always had the reputation of being able to kind of adjust to the guy he had. Because not everybody's Michael Penix Jr. either.
Nope.
But, man, it has not really worked at Alabama, other than when they played LSU.
Well, you know.
Man, his highlight reel should be that one 2 years in a row.
Well, it was that game, and then whoever LSU played the game before, and the game before that, the quarterback shined running the football. So, at the end of the day, I don't think it's Alabama being successful. It's LSU lack thereof stopping the quarterback from running the ball. However, when you talk about Kalen DeBoer and Michael Penix Jr., this guy, Michael Penix Jr., can see the field, put the ball on a rope and on a dime, and put it wherever he wants to put the football. And you saw that last year as they got to the championship game.
Now, you saw it Sunday.
I was about to say, and then that translated to Atlanta Falcons on Sunday, where he didn't have this outstanding game, but you can see where there was many, many flashes of who this guy is going to be in the years to come. He's definitely the guy that's going to take over. But when you flip-flop that and you go to Jalen Milroe, he doesn't have that. He has the arm strength, but he doesn't have the wherewithal, the understanding, the awareness to be able to put the ball where it needs to be on time to the right player. And then he sits in the pocket too long. He waits. And what I mean by that, he's staring down receivers and looking at routes.
You can
it
almost
doesn't seem
hear
like he's confident.
Like it clicking in his head of
that's
where
right.
should I go with
right.
it instead of instinctively
it's not instinctive
seeing
at all.
Where he goes with it. We talk a little bit about Sunday and just how Jaden Daniels, he's the coolest cat out on the field. Okay, give me the ball at the end. I got it. You know, don't worry about it. I got it.
But, you know, we're so used to seeing that from him, though.
Yes,
we saw that 2 years in a row. Even his first year when he wasn't as successful as he was, his second year at LSU, but we saw who he was going to end up being. And then now you've seen his maturation from winning the Heisman Trophy to going to a Washington Commanders team as the leader and starting like immediately and winning the locker room first was the most important thing. And that's why he's as successful as he is. It's not just because of the talent. It's because of the person who he is as far as leading men to being successful. And he does it by what? By being the example. Right? Not showing examples, but being the example. And that's a beautiful thing. And that's why I love Jaden Daniels so much.
We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're finishing up our number two of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. I'd like to tell you, along with Herb Tyler, we're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road in Baton Rouge. Also want to thank Matt Construction, Matt Bill Beyond, of our presenting sponsor here on our Tiger Tailgating Show. Herb, we talked a little bit about it, but I just got a feeling the way both defenses play, that this will be a high-scoring game between the two of them. I see how Baylor's built, and they're built to score points. They haven't stopped a lot of people. Giving up 27 points a game the last six games. And I think LSU maybe can hit some big plays on them. And LSU's defense, even when they were playing really good, were giving up a lot. So
that's right.
I got a feeling that you may see a high-scoring game here between the two. Well,
the problem I got was I don't know if you're going to see it between the two because LSU is trying to put together offensive line, and Baylor has their defense intact, basically their front seven. So can LSU put the guys together to be able to give Garrett Nussmeier a little bit of time to be able to produce some sort of passing game to get the ball out of his hands quickly? And also, especially when you have new guys that's going to be playing. Now, you have Aaron and you have Chris Hilton. Basically, is really all the players you have that's coming back that's going to be playing the receiver position and Zay Thomas. But it's going to be difficult to watch, I think, when Dave Aranda starts throwing those blitzes at Garrett.
Yeah, and I want to take a good look at Kylan Billiatt,
who
played his high school football right down the road with me, and he was a big Billiatt play athlete.
It's not a billet. I don't know what a billet is, a billet or whatever.
He's a Billiatt. Don't worry about it. We'll be back with more Tiger Tailgate right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.